Before you text this evening, I would like to just look at one verse found in Hosea. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. I came across this verse recently in a Bible study with a young man that I am working with. And it really caught my attention. And I would like to use that kind of as an introduction to what I've been referring to about a deeper walk with the Lord. So Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." So I would like to look at what this verse is saying and how that can apply to us today. Hosea used a number of illustrations of plowing and harvesting and sowing and reaping. He used these to obviously to try to get the people of Israel's attention and bring them back to the Lord and to show them their spiritual condition. It's interesting, Jesus also used a lot of those examples that the average person could wrap his mind around. And you can say, well, we can look at the parable of the sower tonight, but we don't plan to do that. But rather, we're going to look at the illustration or what we can learn from this verse. And there's a number of phrases in this verse, and I kind of like to look at each of these individually, not necessarily in the order that you find them in this verse, but I would like to look at these phrases and see how we can make them practical in our life. The first one is, break up your fallow ground. Now, that's a term that we don't use a lot, fallow ground. What is Hosea talking about? What is fallow ground? Well, I'm going to give you a little example of fallow ground. In 2008, I bought a piece of property that it was right next door to a field that I have no idea how long it has not been plowed. But it hadn't been plowed. It was just laying there doing nothing. Well, 17 years later, it is still like that. Nothing has changed. It is still being fallow. Well, and it's very productive land. In the area that we used to live, it was up close to Rosebush where we used to live. Now we're down in the outreach. Very productive farm ground, and this piece of property sits there fallow. The owner lives out of the area, and he really doesn't care if that land doesn't produce anything. It's just absolutely fallow. As you can imagine, it's growing up in grass and weeds, and there's a few flowers that find their way to, but it doesn't really serve any purpose. Even the deer would rather go eat the soybeans and the corn in the other fields around it. What can we learn from this field? What can we learn from this fallow field? Let's use our imagination for a bit. Let's say let's imagine that we're that fallow ground. Pretty snug and content. Very safe and protected. You know what? Nothing really disturbs it. It's pretty predictable. Every year is kind of the same. Same weeds come back up again, same grass. And it just enjoys the sunshine. If the rain comes, great. If it doesn't come, it's really not a big deal because it really is not fulfilling a purpose. It just simply is there. It's just simply putting in time. It doesn't serve a purpose. And it never sees the fulfillment of ripened fruit. Never does. The exact opposite is the plowed ground. What's the difference between what I just described and the plowed ground? Now, I don't know if your farmers out here plow, but back when I was a young boy, we plowed our fields. I know anymore they till them and they disc them and they no-till them and stuff, but we used to plow our fields, and I'm going to pretend that we're still plowing fields. I don't know if you do or not. What is different about this plowed field? Well, the plowed field has yielded itself to something, right? It has yielded itself to something. Its very world has literally been turned upside down. That's what a plow does, right? A plow turns the sod upside down. It literally does that. And if that wasn't enough, very shortly thereafter, here comes the disc and the harrow, and it chops and breaks it up and completely destroys it, you might say. You know, it just completely tears it apart. Why go through all that pain? Why does the soil have to go to the pain? Because it's the only way to become productive. And when I know this is the time of harvest, it's not the time of springtime and plowing, but sometimes farmers plow in the fall. But springtime comes and the land is planted and the rewards start to come, right? Very quickly after it's planted, new life bursts forth. What a stark contrast between the two fields. One is just useless, no purpose, and the other is a beautiful, if you go out long, drive along the road and you see the corn or whatever the crops are coming up, just a beautiful, nice, neat rows, green. What a beautiful illustration of surrender, of giving up to the plow. What can we learn from this illustration tonight? What can we learn from this illustration? What is God looking for in our lives? Let's now go on and look at it. Let's say the fallow life. Let's call it the fallow life, not the fallow field. Let's bring it closer to home. The man of fallow life is content with himself and the memory of the fruit he once produced. He's just pretty comfortable. He's steady and predictable, always in his accustomed place. Faithfully comes to prayer meeting, gives the right answers in Sunday school, real predictable answers. You know what he's going to say. He always has the same testimony. Hopefully you don't have anybody like that here. But you get what I'm saying here. Just predictable. But there's not much going on. He doesn't want to be disturbed. The spirit of adventure is dead. He wants life to go on just like it did for the last 30 or 40 years. He doesn't want to be bothered with outreach efforts. You fill in the blanks. I don't have to say all the things. And sure enough, after a stirring message, he'll have a testimony of how challenged he was. But nothing changes. He was challenged. But just like that fallow fruit, it is fruitless. Why? Because he fears the pain of the plow. He fears about opening up. He fears to be transparent and honest. Accountability meeting comes and he won't say anything except the pat answer. He fears to open up and be transparent and honest. But you know what the curse of such a life is? That it is fixed both in size and contact. Nothing changes. Whatever problem that you've had for the last 30 or 40 years is still there. And if anything, it's getting worse. It does not grow or bear fruit. He has fenced himself in. And in the process, he has kept the plow out. Okay, he has fenced it in, said no plowing. He might even have put a sign up, no plowing. But you know what? In the same act of keeping that plow out, he has kept God and spiritual maturity out. It's the reality of that situation. Well, let's look at the plowed life. The plowed life is totally the opposite. It's open to truth. It's open to correction. It's open to change. It allows a plow of confession and repentance to have its way in his life. Do you know that God's plow can be very painful? Very disruptive to your pride and self. God's plow can really plow deep. You say, hey, not so deep, please. And you know what the plow does? It rips that shell off that we've put around ourselves. It brings to light our roots. It exposes our roots for everyone to see. That's literally what a plow, when you watch a plow go, let's say he's plowing up a field of alfalfa that hasn't been plowed in a number of years, and it's laying that over. Those roots, they come up to the surface. You can see them. You can see that they're for everyone to see. But let me tell you something. If you are willing to let God plow your life, there's tremendous peace and joy and satisfaction. And praise the Lord, there's fruit. There's fruit that comes from that. Men who have, as a result of allowing God to plow their field, have borne amazing fruit. You know, think of the men of the Bible who we admire. Who we admire, and we just say, wow, they were men of faith. What made them men of faith? They allowed God to plow them. only because they allow God to take them out of their comfort zone, out of that safe and secure, that safe zone of fallibleness. They allowed God to take them out of there. What will a life look like that has submitted to God's plow? Let's look at some of the other phrases here in this verse. So let's say now that we understand the need to let God plow and prepare our hearts and our lives for Him. And it says, sow to yourself in righteousness. How do we do this? How do you sow to ourselves in righteousness? Proverbs 11:18 says, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Where can you buy righteousness? Where do you go to get righteousness to sow it? What's he talking about here? Well, brother says, you can't buy it. There's no feed store or seed company that sells righteousness. Verse 19 of chapter 11 of Proverbs says, as righteous tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth his own death. The drastic difference between pursuing righteousness and pursuing evil. So we can just, by reading these verses of Proverbs, we can see that we need to live life intentionally. And what we sow matters. It's a life and death difference. So the question tonight, are we sowing righteousness? Is that what is coming out of our life? Again, I raise the question, what is righteousness? Let's define what we mean by this. Well, righteousness is truthfulness, is right living, to be just, ethically right, morally right. Well, how do we know we're right? There's so many different things that you could listen to and preachers that could tell you things. How do we know what is moral and ethically right? How do we know what truth is? I'm going to tell you tonight that righteousness is an attribute of God, and we must get to know God. Tomorrow night, I want to talk more about that. How do you get to know God? 1 John 2:29 says, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. That's how you get righteousness. You must be born of God. We heard about that in our devotions. The question tonight, are you born of God? If you are not, don't expect to find righteousness in your life. 1 John 3:7 says, little children, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, which is God, is righteous. Brothers and sisters, righteousness cannot be faked. There's so many other things. You can fake so many things. You can be the perfect host and hate the people, okay? You can just be so friendly. You can fake that. But righteousness cannot be faked because it is of God, and you must be a child of God to have righteousness. It cannot be faked. Henry Blackaby says, if you want to harvest righteousness tomorrow, you must plant seeds of righteousness today. You know, if you want to harvest righteousness, if you want to have righteousness in your life, then you must get to know God and plant righteous seeds. We all understand the law of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6:7 says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Which brings me to my next point. Number two, it says, reap in mercy. Why does he say reap in mercy? Because every one of us in this room deserve to reap condemnation and death. Every one of us do. There's not a single person in here that has enough good works that he should be able to reap anything else. Because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, often when I think of reaping in a spiritual sense, I think of it in the negative. You know, that we're going to get a reward for what we did that was wrong. We're going to reap for my poor choices. But no, in this verse, reaping is a positive light. He's saying that we will reap in mercy. Reaping for that which none of us deserve. Because of the grace of God and because of his forgiveness, we are going to reap in mercy. But Hosea is saying here, if we sow to ourselves in righteousness, we will reap in mercy. Why? Because we have broken up that fallow ground. That's why. We have broken up that fallow ground and we have allowed the righteousness of God to be sown in our life. And then we will reap mercy. There's just, yes, surrender and submission to God are the response observed from our life. No, we're truly seeking God. No, we don't always get it perfectly right, but we love the Lord. We seek the Lord. We desire for Him. We repent when we realize that we have done wrong. We will reap in mercy. Praise the Lord. Number three, it says, for it is time to seek the Lord. Sorry, I don't know if I ever told you what my title for the night is, but it's now is the time was the title of my message. Now is the time. And I get that from this particular phrase. For it is time to seek the Lord. Brothers and sisters, are you seeking the Lord? Because if you are not, there is no guarantee that we will be given more time. Are you willing to seek for Him all of this week and for the rest of your life? You know, I can spend hours preparing these messages, and I have actually. And I can preach with all the fervor that I can. I can even pound this pulpit. But unless you're seeking the Lord and allowing Him to plow your lives, I'm going to waste my time. You know, that's just reality. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. No, every day is the right day to seek the Lord. There's never a wrong day to seek the Lord. You know, sometimes we show up at somewhere and they're closed and we came on the wrong day. But there is never a wrong day to seek for the Lord, to let Him have His way in your life, to completely surrender yourselves. How hard are you willing to seek for the Lord? In Matthew 7:7, a very familiar verse, Jesus just said these words. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know, how long should we seek and knock and ask? Until you find it. That's how long you should. You must find it. You must find it. And that is the next phrase. Till He comes. Till He comes. Seek and knock and ask. Young people tonight, or anyone that is here, if you don't understand everything about what God is trying to say in His Word, or what the preacher preached on Sunday or tonight, ask. Ask questions. Seek. Find the answers. Find the answers to life, because it makes all the difference. Till He comes. Till you make that connection, till you understand. Don't give up until He comes into your life, until you make that connection. And I will tell you tonight, I promise you, if you truly seek God, He will come. He will come every single time. I can say that with confidence, because in Matthew 7:8, the very next verse, Jesus says, He makes this promise, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Brothers and sisters, those are not my words. Those are Jesus' words. I am simply quoting what Jesus says. And I am convinced that Jesus longs to connect with us. I'm convinced that Jesus has a tremendous desire to get closer to every single one of us here tonight. And if you yet or never yet made a commitment, He would long to make that connection with you. And He longs to do what the last phrase of this verse also says. And rain righteousness upon you. What does He mean by that? Rain righteousness upon you. How does God rain righteousness upon us in 2025? Well, you know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time telling you how that happens. I would rather have you deeply think about this. You know, I think that part of preaching is to teach you. Part of it is to explain things, but part of it is to get you to think. I'm convinced that in our generation, I'm going to say this carefully, we don't think enough. We let Google think for us. We let the preacher think for us. We let some self-help book think for us. rather than open up the Word of God and say, what is God trying to say here? How does this apply to my life? How does this apply to my relationships? I think we should really deeply think about, how does God rain righteousness upon you? Well, I fear that we have actually bought into the health and wealth gospel more than we realize. The doctrine, if we do the right things, God will bless us. As our businesses flourish and get bigger, we say, God is blessing us. Okay? I don't want to minimize that God can bless us. That's not what I'm trying to say. But what does God's blessing look like in 2025? Think about that. Glad if you come back tomorrow night and you tell me what that looks like. I want to make crystal clear that I do not want to confuse the blessing of earthly businesses with what Hosea is talking about here. I do not believe that God raining righteousness upon us has anything to do with achieving the American dream. They're two completely opposite things. And the reason I can say that with confidence, remember what we just got done defining righteousness as. Righteousness is an attribute of God found only in children of God, right? What does that have to do with the American dream? Righteousness is only found in children whom the plow is allowed to have its way. Think about that for a minute. Children in whom seeking and finding God is of utmost importance. It's more important than saving money for that RV or that ATV or whatever. You fill in the blanks. Raining righteousness upon you. I'm convinced that God has a desire to do that. But we must be willing and ready to let Him. Where do you find yourself tonight? If God were to come down tonight and take a soil sample, what would He find? You know what? We just, like I said, we're building a new house, and we picked a spot for a garden, and we planted a garden. It did terrible. Okay? I love gardening. You can say, well, I didn't have enough time. I didn't do it right. Something is out of whack. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take soil samples before I plant next spring. And I'm going to figure out what it needs. And I've already wondered if God would come down to us tonight, or any time in our life, and take soil samples. Doesn't matter if you have a white shirt on or a gray shirt on or what color dress you have. What is inside that heart? What would God find? That's for you to answer, not me. But God already knows. He doesn't need to take a soil sample. He already knows what's in there. My question is tonight, how productive is your soil? What are you willing to let God do in your life? If God comes down and says, you know what, you need more nitrogen, or you need more of this or that, are you willing to let Him do that? Obviously, He's not going to call it that. How comfortable are you in the state that you are in? Well, I'm convinced that God wants more out of our lives than we are giving right now. Every one of us. We are not maxed out in righteousness. I don't believe that, okay? Maybe you are more special here than we are in Michigan. I don't know. But I don't believe that anyone is maxed out in righteousness and seeking God. We can grow in that area. And that is why I picked that theme. Further up and further into the kingdom of God. Deeper and deeper. Are you willing to let God do that? Are you willing to allow God to plow in this your life and bring it to maximum production? Well, if you are, I will promise you that you will bear fruit like never before. But I'm also going to tell you that our lives are often the most productive when we are taken out of our comfort zone. When God's plow turns our world upside down. Why? I'll tell you why. Because that is when we rely the most on God and His Holy Spirit, right? That's how I find in my life. Well, there's been weekends when I knew it was my turn to preach, and I didn't know what to preach. And I said, God, You're going to have to do this. I don't recommend just winging it. I wasn't just winging it. I was simply honestly saying, God, you're going to have to help me do this. Those were some of the most powerful messages because God, the Holy Spirit, was doing it, not me. I didn't have some pet subject or agenda that I would. No. God wants to take us out of our comfort zone and plow our soil. I believe the power of God comes to those who recognize their great need and allow God to have His way. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Yes, praise the Lord, because Christ gives us the strength when we allow ourselves to go out of the way. I want to close with the words of our text verse again. Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Truly, now is the time to do that. This evening, if you have anything